Good Vach, this is Parshat Pekudei, and this is Yisachar Wartel. So we are finishing up Sefer Shemot with the second half of Vayakal Pekudei. That's right, they're not together this year, as it is a leap year and also with the Chagim fallout. Before I begin, once again, this year is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala by Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. Now, hopefully, many of you listened last week. This ties in a tiny bit with last week's Zohar that I gave, so the one I give on Thursday nights. You know, but it's mostly self-contained, so I believe you could probably still understand most of it. There's a good amount of material in here, so hopefully I will not rush through it too much and be able to do everything justice. Now, the question I'm going to present to you to start off with is, what's the word for linen? So we know that the most common word for linen in Hebrew is pishtan, which is also the word for flax, which linen comes from. However, very fine twisted linen is known as shesh, which is something I speak about in my written dvar this week. And then there's also bod, which is specifically a linen garment. So let's explore that, shall we? What is it? Why is it called bod? What does that mean? So the bulk of this week's parsha, and its parallel parsha Tetzav, will largely focus on the construction and setup of the Mishkan, but also the big day kahuna, the priestly garments. Now they're given intricate descriptions and are represented by two sets of four, plus the tzitz, which is the head plate. Four garments were worn by all Kohanim, and four, or five if you include the tzitz, were also worn by the Kohen Gadol. The basic four garments required to be worn by all servant Kohanim are referred to in Parashat Achrimot and Chazal as Big Day Bad, or Big Day Vad, garments of linen. Now, the word bod is an interesting choice, as there's a seemingly identical word for this type of linen, because it's made out of the fine linen, which we see in the formation of the mikdash, which is shesh. And Onkelos, in fact, translates both these terms the same way. So why is the specific term used for a linen garment? Why not say big day shesh, right? It makes much more sense. So, as previously mentioned, the word bod also means a pole, P-O-L-E. And much like the bodnim, or the vessels of the Mishkan, this teaches us a lesson, as alluded to by the intrinsic bilateral meaning separate or distinct. Now, the poles of the kelim, the vessels, taught us that we are distinct and have a unique purpose, but we're all part of one kli. We have to insert ourselves into the world, but ultimately do our part, but ultimately it's Hashem who is the true master. Now, the big day bod, or the bod garments, were worn by the Kohanim, who had the distinct role of being the facilitators of this relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. So therefore, these garments were special garments only to be used for holy purposes and nothing else. They literally had to take them off the moment they had to do something else. But they also represented the concept of sanctity versus immorality and the spiritual soul versus the animalistic soul. They had to be used only for Kedusha purposes. Right now, it is therefore understandable why in Parshat Achrimot, all four of these garments, which are the ketonet, the tunic, the mitznefet, the turban, the avnet, which is the belt or the sash, and the michnasayim, which are the pants, are all in fact referred to as bod, and that the term big day bod is used. However, in our parsha, as well as Parshat Tetzava, there is no general mention of these garments being bod, and only one of the four garments is actually labeled as such. In both of these parshas, Parshat Tetzava and Pekudei, the only garments that have this mentioned is in fact the michnasay bod, which are the pants or the breeches. And the specific reason given to them is that it appears stronger than the other three, namely that they cover the erva or place of indecency, showing once more again the strong push against physical immorality in the context of the Mishkan. And I just want to reiterate that in Achrimot, where it's actually focusing more on the service and the function of the Kohanim, that's why over there the term bod is used much more heavily, because that deals more with their role, whereas here we're dealing more so with the actual materials, so only by the concept of the pants, which covers up indecency, does the Torah choose to use it. Again, I'm sure there's many other explanations as well. Now, before looking further at what this garment, you know, well, and we're going to look even further, actually, at the pants. And we're going to get there, right? Why that's the only one in this week's parsha. I mean, because they all can, you know, I'm sure we could come up with reasons why they all would have, you know, this term. So another thing to look at is that the order of garments in our two parshio, namely Parshat Tetzav and Pekudei, is different. In these two parshio, it's one way, and in Parshat Achrimot, it's another way, right? So the order here is ketonet, it's nefet, avnet, and echnasei baz. So it's the tunic, the turban, the belt, and then the pants. But later in Achrimot, as ketonet, Machasebad, Avnit, and Mitznefet. So the first one is the same, which is the tunic, and then the other three are switched, or really the second and the fourth. It has after the tunic, it has the pants, then the belt, and then the turban. Ketonet is listed first both times, as I mentioned, but the order otherwise is effectively reversed. So it's one, two, three, four, and then one, 4:32. So after the Ketonah, it's flipped. Now, in order to understand this properly, you must view the context in which the later list appears. So as I mentioned, the Parashat Achrimot deals with the relationship of what the Kohanim have to do. And none of that was greater than what the Kohen Gadol did, which was the Yom Kippur service. And although what we're generally referring to here are the generic garments for the servant Kohanim, here in this context in Achrimot later on, when they're mentioned, it's in the context of being worn solely by the Kohen Gadol for the specific avoda of the Yom Kippur service. And that's important. The Kohen Gadol represents the ultimate human symbol of the connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. And Yom Kippur is respectfully a unique day to this connection more than any other day. Now, in both cases, the ketonet, the tunic, is mentioned first because it's a prerequisite. It envelops and covers the body, more specifically embraces it. Once a person truly embraces Hashem and notices and realizes that there is this relationship, only then can the dimensions, which are symbolized by the other garments, be considered. In normal cases, the mitznefet, which is the turban, comes next as it represents intellectual processes needed to fathom about this relationship. Once you realize that there, in general, that there is a concept of there being a relationship with Hashem, then you start thinking about it and wondering about it. So that's symbolized by the mind. So that's fitting to have the turban, which fits on the head. Then it comes the avnei, the belt or sash. It's a dividing line. It creates boundaries or guidelines. You need to know what's appropriate. What are the rules? Recognizing the relationship between God and man and contemplating what it means makes one aware that there are inherent responsibilities and boundaries that must be kept. Now, the mechnasei bod represent the physical implementation, right, the pants. They represent our physical implementation of our responsibilities and ongoing work, right? Like we work in the pants, they move around, and maintaining this distinction of sanctity versus immorality. And by acknowledging God and understanding that there is relationship with them, but that certain things are relatively easy, but that implementing them and doing the mitzvah and maintaining that sanctity is not always necessarily easy. Therefore, these mechnasayim, which are ordinary garments, which normally would not have any sanctity, have this special function of teaching out these lessons, because sometimes it's seemingly the mundane things in our everyday lives that we can elevate the most, and those are the things we have to make sure don't lead us down a path away from Hashem and towards immorality. However, on Yom Kippur, the nation, and certainly the Kohen Gadol is already in the state, we have a heightened sense of awareness to separate from immorality and kind of physical pleasure in general. We do not indulge in any physical pleasures, you know, whether it be marital, food, drink, whatever. We don't smear things. The entire focus of the day is upon the sanctity in our lives. Our bodies and what upon them are all bad. Everything is bad. It's all just pure linen, right? Therefore, the lesson is going from the intellect down to the physical. That lesson we don't need because our physical is spiritual on Yom Kippur. Rather, we can start from the lowly aspects of this world and then transcend boundaries, which is symbolized by the Avni, and ultimately then we can go to the higher realm, symbolized by the head and the Mitznefet. We start with our bodies because our bodies are pure in Yom Kippur. So we start with the pants, so to speak, which represents our body covering, right, after we have the tunic, right? We don't have to worry about this thinking about things first. We're already in that state. So we have that, and we have the tunic, which envelops us. We have the pants, which represents abstaining from physicality and immorality, whatever you want to call it, but we're already on that level, so we can go into that pretty easily. Then we have Avnei. We look at our borders. We look at what we did earlier in the year. We look at what we're going to be doing next year. We have a much clearer delineation. We have a much clearer picture and feeling, not just thoughts, but our feeling of where we're holding. And then when we're into this pure state, and we've assessed that what we've done, and we've done Charata, and we've done Teshuvah, and we assess what we're going to try and do for the coming year, then we can really start contemplating even more about Hashem, and we start just thinking about things, hopefully in a really amazing way, you know, connected with davening, right? So another way of looking at this is that the general Kohanic function is to bring Shemayim Ha'aretz, to bring the spiritual realm down to the earthly realm. But on Yom Kippur through the Kohen Gadol, it's the opposite, or the earthly realm is brought up and presented in front of the spiritual realm, and we go Aretz L'Shemayim. Now, the Gemara tells a story that along with the vessels from the Beit HaMikdash, Achashverosh, yes, I'm bringing in Purim already, as is fitting, because today's Rosh Chodesh, so good in Chodesh, everybody. Achashverosh also took for himself the Big Day Kahuna, including the Big Day Bod, and had the audacity to wear them profanely at his parties in Shushan. This did not bring the spiritual realm down to the physical realm, but rather lowered the potential of spirituality down to a physical level, which is something that Hashem does not want. Only through the Purim story and the subsequent rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash was this, in fact, trend reversed, which is a concept obviously seen of in the Hafechu on Purim. And this is perhaps yet another connection between the concept of Yom Kippur and Yom Kippurim, or Purim, right? As we see Chazal often connects the two. So it's a pretty neat occurrence how these things seem seemingly tied together. I also want to give a huge Yisr Koach and immense gratitude for my good friend Isaac Yitzchak Kotlicki for helping me put this together, you know, this week's Dvar Torah, as well as many inyanim in last week's Dvar Torah as well. So wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and a good Chodesh.